Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Hong Kong's largest pro-democracy newspaper, Apple Daily, said it will shut its operations after 26 years by this weekend, and they've already published its final edition today. The newspaper's owner, Next Digital, said the decision was made in view of staff members' safety. This comes after 500 police raided the paper's headquarters last week, while its National Security Bureau accused them of colluding with foreign forces by publishing more than 30 articles on calling for countries to impose sanctions on Hong Kong and mainland China. An op-ed columnist was also arrested yesterday. National Security Officers also arrested the chief editor and five other media executives for violating the national security law and froze $3 million New Zealand dollars in funds. The paper's owner, Jimmy Lai, is already in jail for other national security charges. Stephen Vines is a journalist in Hong Kong and a columnist at the news website Hong Kong Free Press. I spoke to him earlier today and I began by asking what Apple Daily is.
Apple Daily is a most extraordinary phenomenon in Hong Kong. It was founded in 1995, which is just 2 years before the handover to Chinese rule. And it's this combination of a very racy tabloid and actually quite serious political newspaper committed to the democracy movement. It's become more political, if you like, over the years, and under considerable pressure from the new authorities, who are not so new anymore, who now rule Hong Kong, who feel that the space for opposition just simply needs to be reduced. And one of the biggest forces providing a voice for the opposition has been Apple Daily. Not only has the paper been closed, its founder and owner is in jail, its chief editor is in jail, they've now put under arrest one of its main commentators. The publisher is in jail. I mean, it's a thorough demolition job. And the rest of the media in Hong Kong, by which I mean the traditional media, newspapers, television stations, is effectively now either directly under control of organs of the Communist Party, or is owned by people who are sympathetic to the new order, or is owned by people who have decided the only way that their media can survive is by shutting up and obeying orders. So effectively, with the death of Apple Daily today, there is now no mainstream media left in Hong Kong which could be called as an organ representing the opposition.
Okay, but in the past, when we see when Jimmy Lai, the Apple Daily's owner, was arrested, there had been a massive wave of subscriptions to Apple Daily, or even more support being rallied by social media or other forms for it. So why did it decide to close just now?
I think simply because the authorities have frozen the funds of the paper. So not only can they not continue to pay their staff, they can't pay their suppliers, and they can't even receive the income that they're getting from sales. I mean, effectively, Apple Daily is boycotted by all advertisers, so they're not getting that income, but they are getting income from sales. And since the pressure has increased on Apple Daily, the sales have increased. Today, the last day of publication, they printed an astonishing 1 million copies, and it's very hard to get one. I haven't been out and about sufficiently on the streets to find out, but I gather that it's almost impossible to get one, even though they printed 1 million copies. So, you know, it's not that there's no demand for the paper. It's just the conditions for publication are so difficult. And particularly the arrest yesterday of one of its most prominent columnists told the management that they have a responsibility to their staff by continuing to publish. They put people who write for the paper at risk. And I think, obviously, I don't know this in exact detail, but I think that they took the view they couldn't afford to be responsible for that risk any longer.
What do you think does the closure mean for other outlets?
Well, for the most newspapers, of course, they will be very happy because they think they'll get Apple Daily readers subscribed to. I think the incident, that's highly unlikely, but that's what they think. But there is, of course, online and in all forms of social media, a very active alternative media in Hong Kong. Now, at the moment, with one notable exception, there haven't been any arrests or action taken against these outlets. But because I'm quite familiar with them, I know that there's a chill running through their newsrooms, and they are all literally sitting down and talking to each other, trying to work out what they can do to avoid the worst, which is being arrested, but to avoid also being closed down with all the consequences that that would entail. So there is an extremely cold chill running through what could be called the remnants of the free media in Hong Kong.
When you say these forms of alternative media, do you think these outlets could fill the void that Apple Daily has left behind?
Well, to some extent. I mean, none of them produce printed materials. You may say, well, does that matter at the moment? Because, you know, in the modern age, people don't necessarily receive their news. In fact, the majority of people don't receive their news through traditional news outlets. But, I mean, its physical presence was an enormous symbol for people in Hong Kong of the existence of an alternative. But I think that as long as they are able to continue, and that's not to be assumed as a given, but as long as that is, they are able to continue, they will see much bigger readership. I mean, they already have. They're small outfits, but they already have an extraordinary reach within Hong Kong itself. I would think that it will become bigger.
The chief executive, Carrie Lam, has warned after the Apple Daily executives were arrested that media outlets must not, quote-unquote, subvert the government. But there hasn't quite a lot of official distinction between what's a subversion or not.
Well, this is the problem. I mean, these arrests and the action against Apple Daily was taken out under the auspices of the National Security Law, which came in almost exactly a year ago. That is a broad law with very little definition of what constitutes subversion, etc. And it's being implemented in a way of subversion is whatever we say it is. Collaboration with foreign powers is whatever we say it is. So that law is terrifying because nobody actually knows where the red lines are. This week, at a press conference, Carrie Lam was asked, can you please tell journalists what and what is not permissible in terms of coverage? And she said, chillingly, exactly the same thing as Communist Party leaders say on the mainland, you know what is permissible and what isn't permissible. I don't need to tell you. I mean, this is what you hear from every authoritarian state on the planet. In other words, we'll keep you unsure and we'll let you know when you've crossed the line.
And you host a current affairs show on the public broadcaster. Is it much difficult to conduct journalism in Hong Kong since 2019 or after the national security law?
It's become increasingly difficult. I mean, the program I host is subject to very heavy censorship. There are a raft of subjects that we're not allowed to cover. There are a great number of people who in the normal course of events would have been invited to come to the program who are forbidden people, if you like. So yes, it's an enormous impact on the way that operates. And you know, that program is produced by the public broadcaster, Radio Television Hong Kong, which is under almost, and this isn't an exaggeration, daily pressure from the authorities. You know, a new chief has been installed, who's very hard line. There's new officials running around the building, censoring programs, telling people what they can and cannot do. It's a very poisonous atmosphere there.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.